Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. This is the book of Numbers, and this is chapter 6. And before we ask the Lord to anoint this chapter, I want to say that this has to do with the, what, rules of the Nazarites, or the
Nazarite
law. The rules or laws of the Nazarites. And the Nazarite, Jesus was called the Nazarene. And a lot of people will say, well, Jesus turned the water into wine, but that's symbolic of him turning ourselves into spiritual beings by him entering into us. And the Bible plainly states that we're a nation of priesthoods, and that we're a nation of priests, and that Jesus is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And it's a law that the priest are not to, while they're officiating in services, to have anything to do with any type of alcoholic beverage. And then the Lord tells us to be instant in and out of season. That's what the Bible tells us in the New Testament. And so therefore we're always on duty. And so we fall under the law. This could be that this, I know that this is symbolic of the law. The law of the Nazarites is symbolic of being a priest. The John the Baptist was a Nazarene, a Nazarite, and he was not able to drink wine or anything from the vine, not even to eat grapes or to have any alcoholic beverages whatsoever. And so, Father, we ask that the lessons in this book, that we're a nation of priests, and we see that the Apostle Paul made a mistake in the Bible by circumcising, I believe it was Timothy. He then later stated that he fought like crazy to make sure that people didn't tell or preach to people that they had to be circumcised. And so there are mistakes that he made. Yet the Bible, the Word of God, is there's no mistake in it whatsoever. So the Bible states that we are the spiritual priests and we're on duty 24 hours a day. And whether we have, now each one of us has a position in the body of Christ, yet we're still all a nation of priests. And so no one's going to listen to anybody preaching the gospel or with alcohol in their breath. And I have just, the Lord has just been leading me to teach things like this. I didn't even realize that myself until the Lord started leading me in the Spirit to teach these things. And I have Scripture to back me up. The Lord gives me the Scriptures. Not for kings, O Lemuel, not for kings. You're not to take wine, because it perverts judgment and justice. And we are always on duty, especially in these last days. There are so many things that are not only happening, evil that are happening in the world, but that are happening in the church. And we have to be alert and be on watch at all times. We have to be careful. We have to be careful what we hear. And it's for sure, we're not going to go to hell for not drinking alcoholic beverages. Amen?
Amen.
It's for sure you'll not go to hell for that, because you're going by the Word of God to not do it. And you'll see that John the Baptist in the New Testament, and he is the first of the New Testament evangelists, was neither to drink wine, anything from the vine, without a doubt, any alcoholic beverage. So, Father, quicken all this into our spirits, because many people feel that, oh, there's so many things that are going wrong in the world today, and yet the whole nations of the world are deceived because they feel that we should honor our presidents, who admitted to me that they're nothing more than puppets of the Pope. Ronald Reagan told me that. And he said he can't do a thing, his hands are tied. And they use these people, and I just have to call them idiots, because anybody that would be that idiotic and be so hell-bent, bent on hell, to go there just for fame and fortune. And you get a lot of money. The devil will give you money sometimes, you know, if you'll just sell your soul. And if I were President Bush and former President Clinton, I would throw that stuff down on the ground and repent. I did that before, back around 40 years ago. I had opportunities to be just anything I wanted to be in this world, and I've been offered $1 billion to not say anything bad about the Pope. Teddy Bart on national television stated, "Tony, what would it take for you to lay off of the Pope? Would you do it for $1 billion? And I said, no, I wouldn't. Okay? Not for $100 billion or $1 trillion. I wouldn't do that for any amount of money. And Teddy Bart's real name, he's Jewish. His real name is Theodore Bartholomew. He changed it to Teddy Bart, and so I had to bring that out while I was on his show. And he had confessed to me at one time that he had stones, that he used to go into the Jewish delicatessen called Wolfley's or Wolfie's in Florida, Miami, and he'd go in there and eat the bread and then eat pickles like real fast and then go out the back door. He'd pretend like he was going to order something. And it was kind of a joke because, you know, I don't mind. If he would have asked the people in the Jewish restaurant for food, they would have fed him. He wouldn't have had to been so sneaky about that. And he, as a Jew, should have known better than that. And I had to give him a little josh on that while I was on his show. And he didn't like that, and he didn't like it when I revealed his name to be Theodore Bartholomew, Teddy Bart. All right, so that's neither here nor there, but, you know, I have a special sense of humor when I see people that are constantly digging the church on television. And that's what he did, is he always downgraded Christians and everything, so I had to give it to him a little bit while I was on his program. Susie told me before she died, she said, if he ever interviews you, I just hope you tear him to pieces. And I did, verbally, of course. All right, so, Father, we ask, Lord, that you anoint everything that is said tonight on this tape, and that you open the ears of the hearer and let it be a lesson unto them, that we are not to in any way be a part of the testimony that the world has today. We smell booze on so many people's breath that we're witnessing to, and they're on drugs and everything else. And Lord, you've given us the power to not only quit smoking cigarettes and to immediately stop from living the former kind of lives that we used to live. So it's no big thing. You've given us plenty of power to not take alcoholic beverages as well. And Paul stated that, you know, if it offends my brother, if I should drink some wine, he says, then I will drink no wine whatsoever. Or if it offends my brother to eat meat, I won't eat any meat either, if they're weak. And he also stated that all things that God said that are legal for him, but all things are not expedient. In other words, it's all right to eat meat, but if it would throw somebody's soul, then he won't eat any. And so it would throw many people's souls, because most people don't have the discernment today to know what is genuinely offensive to the spirit in the spiritual realm, because they're so carnal, they don't understand spiritual things. And that's just even the church itself. They are so carnal that they don't understand spiritual things. Now, there's a videotape that came in, I think I mentioned it to you on the last tape, that tells of this Michael Moore movie that he came out with. Well, somebody sent me a copy of it, and it's blaming all the world problems on Bush, President Bush. But Ronald Reagan told me there isn't anything that I can do. And I had put out a piece of literature called The Pope's Secrets, and I stated in that piece of literature that the presidents are, and kings and queens are nothing but pawns in the hand of the Pope. And there is a long history of the popes creating every war and doing all the diabolical things, murdering people, burning them at the stake, throwing them into the lions. And I even heard a cardinal on television today stating he was making jokes about the Christians and the lions. They were saying that the Christians would whisper into the lions' ears. And then when then the lion would just lie down or go away. And so one of them went in there and asked, what are you... They took these lions that had eaten for 4 weeks. And they came in, and so the Christians would wrap their arms around them and then whisper in their ears. And they'd lie down. And so they interrogated the Christians. What are you saying to these lions that make them lie down? And this cardinal, just making jokes out of being the Christians that they used to throw to the lions, said, we were telling them that they had to make a speech, because most people just crumble when they're told to make a speech. And, you know, ha, ha, ha. That isn't funny to me, is it to you?
No.
No, not at all. So the Pope, a comedian, so the Pope and the cardinals and priests, comedians you're not. And preachers you're not. And the godly people you're not. You're the Antichrist. And to prove it, these homosexual pervert priests are not even prosecuted. Michael Jackson they prosecute for being a pervert. But if he, I just wrote a piece in my literature that if he'd become a Catholic and put out, then they wouldn't persecute him anymore. Because the Vatican states that all those people are not subject to the law, even when God said that everyone is going to be judged by the law. All unrepentant sinners will be judged by the law. And so these Catholics are kidding themselves, they're deceiving people, and being deceived themselves. So, Father, teach us lessons in this chapter 6. Let everyone let it quicken into their spirits, their minds, their hearts, and their souls, in Jesus' name. And destroy every work of the devil through these messages, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen.
Amen.
Now, if we put our bodies under subjection, then the devil is no big problem, because he's defeated. The one that's not defeated yet is your flesh, your body. And the Lord tells you to defeat it, take up the cross, deny yourself, and defeat your flesh, because Satan's already defeated. That's all you've got to worry about, really, is yourself, to keep your body under subjection to the Holy Spirit every day. Submit yourselves to the Holy Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of your flesh. The Bible tells us, your greatest enemy is your body, your flesh. So put it under subjection and live. Then let's go chapter 6, verse 1.
The Nazarite Laws, King James Version. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord. Verse 3.
This is a temporary vow to be a Nazarite. This is if you appoint yourself, to be a Nazarite. But there are some people that God calls by the Spirit to be a Nazarite. The whole body of Christ is supposed to be Nazarites, spiritual beings instead of carnal ones. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 3. He shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine, or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes, or dried. Verse 4. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree.
Now, separation, that means separating yourself from the world. And the Lord tells us that, you know, this is a voluntary thing in the New Testament, but if we voluntarily do it, then we're saved. If we voluntarily say we're not going to do it, then we're lost. There's no any other way. It's either you're saved or you're lost. Then what?
All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. Verse 5. All the days of the vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head, until the days be fulfilled in the which he separateth himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy, and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. Verse 6. All the days that he separateth himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. Verse 7. He shall not make himself unclean for his father, or for his mother, for his brother, or for his sister, when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. Verse 8.
Right, in other words, back then, the Nazarite shows that he is a spiritual being by not cutting his hair. Okay? So people would know that this is a Nazarite. Okay, then what?
Verse 8. All the days of his separation he is holy unto the Lord. Verse 9. And if any man die very suddenly by him, and he hath defiled the head of his consecration, then he shall shave his head in the day of his cleansing. On the seventh day shall he shave it. Verse 10. And on the eighth day he shall bring two turtles, or two young pigeons, to the priest, to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 11. And the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering, and make an atonement for him, for that he sinned by the dead, and shall hallow his head that same day. Verse 12. And he shall consecrate unto the Lord the days of his separation, and shall bring a lamb of the first year for a trespass offering. But the days that were before shall be lost, because his separation was defiled.
Yeah, so all the good that he did before is of no avail, because his Nazarene status was of no value whatsoever, because he defiled it. Because he defiled it. So it's like the same thing in the book of Ezekiel. The Bible says you could do all the good things in your life, and then all of a sudden you decide to do evil. And you do evil, and all the good that you ever did in your life is completely wiped away. And if you died that day, you'd go to hell. No matter how much good you did, it's all erased. That's why the Bible says, those who continue to the end, those who keep doing good, those who weary not in well-doing, are the ones that are going to be saved. Okay, and that's the Bible. Okay, then what?
The Nazarite Laws, translation, verse 1 through 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, quote, speak to the people of Israel, and give them these instructions. Verse 2. If some of the people, either men or women, take the special vow of a Nazarite, setting themselves apart to the Lord in a special way, verse 3, they must give up wine and other alcoholic drinks. They must not use vinegar made from wine. They must not drink other fermented drinks or fresh grape juice, and they must not eat grapes or raisins. Verse 4, as long as they are bound by their Nazarite vow, they are not allowed to eat or drink anything that comes from a grapevine, not even the grape seeds or skins. Verse 5. They must never cut their hair throughout the time of their vow, for they are holy and set apart to the Lord. That is why they must let their hair grow long. Verse 6. And they may not go near a dead body during the entire period of their vow to the Lord. Verse 7. Even if their own father, mother, brother, or sister has died, they must not defile the hair on their head, because it is the symbol of their separation to God.
Now, the Bible tells people that, you know, a woman's hair is her covering, and that it's a shame for her head to not be covered. And so today, the Antichrist movement has got to where the women cut their hair real short in defiance to the Word of God that tells them that they have to have hair, a covering on their head, because of the angels. And the angels are going to come and gather all the people from the earth that are obedient to the Lord, and when he sees the defiant ones, they're not going to come and get you. They're going to leave you behind, and your soul will go to hell, because that in itself is defiance. The Bible put a woman's hair on her head for her glory, and it's her covering. She's not to go into church. She's not to really go anywhere because it's her covering. Because of the angel, she sinned. She's the one that caused every human being to have to go to hell, unless they accept Christ. Because of the woman, God Almighty had to come to earth in a human body and die for the sins of the world. That's how much God loved his creation of human beings. And it really grieves his soul that the devil has persuaded people to go his way, and they deny him because they will not, they refuse to go God's way. And for that alone, that's a lot. God is not going to have any mercy on them when they're screaming their heads off from out of the pit, fiery furnace in hell and the lake of fire. Then what?
Verse 8, this applies as long as they are set apart to the Lord. Verse 9.
Right, so if they say, well, I don't want to serve the Lord anymore, I don't want to be a Nazarite, I don't want to separate myself, then they're free moral agents, they can just go their own way. Okay, then what?
Verse 9, if their hair is defiled because someone suddenly falls dead beside them, they must wait for 7 days and then shave their heads. Then they will be cleansed from their defilement. Verse 10. On the eighth day they must bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons to the priest at the entrance of the tabernacle. Verse 11. The priest will offer one of the birds for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. In this way he will make atonement for the guilt they incurred from the dead body. Then they must renew their vow that day and let their hair begin to grow again.
Right, so that's just symbolic of you're not to touch any dead thing. We're not to touch the world anymore. The world isn't supposed to have an effect on us anymore because the Spirit of the Lord is in us and should give us the power to not want to touch the world anymore, the dead world, or to have anything to do with any of the dead people in the world, because they're all dead in their sins and trespasses, and we're not to do anything with them or have anything to do with them. And if the Lord sees that you do that, that's against his will. You're not to marry him or have anything to do with business with them. Be ye not unequally yoked in any way with unbelievers. Don't touch the unclean, the dead things. Try to revive them, bring them to life. Once you start fellowshipping with the dead people, then they figure you're going along with their deadness, and they don't care if you're a Christian as long as you go along with their deadness. So you're not. You just rather to have friends out in the world. You fellowship with the death out, their death, and you don't say anything about it to them, and you don't show them that you're not going to do anything with them. And therefore, you're guilty of touching dead things. And your life, you're supposed to bring people to life, not fellowship with death. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not the gospel of death, but it's the gospel to bring people to life. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 12. The days of their vow that were completed before their defilement no longer count. They must rededicate themselves to the Lord for a full end of their vow, and each must bring a 1-year-old lamb, male lamb, for a guilt offering.
Now that's just Old Testament. The New Testament, if you do sins, sins that are capital sins, sins that are unforgivable, and you, after you've been saved, well, then it's going to be very hard for you to be able to repent. Very hard. And if you've lived in it for a long time, you've been sent lying delusions, you believed a lie, then what?
King James Version, verse 13. And this is the law of the Nazarite when the days of his separation are fulfilled. He shall be brought unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 14. And he shall offer his offering unto the Lord, one he lamb of the first year without blemish, for a burnt offering, and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, for a sin offering, and one ram without blemish, for peace offerings. Verse 15. And a basket of unleavened bread, cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, and wafers of unleavened bread anointed with oil, and their meat offering and their drink offerings. Verse 16. And the priest shall bring them before the Lord, and shall offer his sin offering and his burnt offering. Verse 17. And he shall offer the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, with the basket of unleavened bread. The priest shall offer also his meat offering and his drink offering. Verse 18. And the Nazarite shall shave the head of his separation at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall take the hair of the head of his separation, and put it in the fire which is under the sacrifice of the peace offerings. Verse 19. And the priest shall take the sodden shoulder of the ram, and one unleavened cake out of the basket, and one unleavened wafer, and shall put them upon the hands of the Nazarite, after the hair of his separation is shaven. Verse 20. And the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. This is holy for the priest, with the wave breast and heave shoulder. And after that the Nazarite may drink wine.
Because he's not a Nazarite anymore. Anyway.
Translation, verse 13 through 20. This is the ritual law of the Nazarites at the conclusion of their time of separation as Nazarites. They must each go to the entrance of the tabernacle, verse 14, and offer these sacrifices to the Lord. The one-year-old male lamb without defect for a burnt offering, a one-year-old female lamb without defect for a sin offering, a ram without defect for a peace offering, verse 15, a basket of bread made without yeast, cakes of choice flour mixed with olive oil, and wafers spread with olive oil, along with their prescribed grain offerings and drink offerings. Verse 16. The priest will present these offerings before the Lord. First the sin offering, then the burnt offering. Verse 17. Then the ram for a peace offering, along with the basket of bread made without yeast. The priest must also make the prescribed grain offering and drink offering. Verse 18. Then the Nazarites will shave their hair at the entrance of the tabernacle, and put it on the fire beneath the peace offering sacrifice. After each Nazarite's head has been shaved, the priest will take for each of them the boiled shoulder of the ram, one cake made without yeast, and one wafer made without yeast, and put them all into the Nazarite's hands. Verse 20, the priest will then lift the gifts up before the Lord in a gesture of offering. These are holy portions for the priests, along with the breast and thigh pieces that were lifted up before the Lord.
In other words, these are for the priest to eat. The others were for the Lord's food, and this is for the priest's food. The wave offerings and the heave offerings. Okay, then what else?
After this ceremony, the Nazarites may again drink wine. King James Version, verse 21. This is the law of the Nazarite who hath vowed, and of his offering unto the Lord for his separation, beside that his hand shall get, according to the vow which he vowed, so he must do after the law of his separation. Verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 23, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, Verse 24, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. Verse 25, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Verse 27, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Translation, verse 21 through 27. This is the ritual law of the Nazarites. If any Nazarite have vowed to give the Lord anything else beyond what is required by their normal Nazarite vow, they must fulfill their special vow exactly as they have promised. Unquote. The priestly blessing. Verse 22. Then the Lord said to Moses, quote, verse 23, instruct Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing. Verse 24, quote, may the Lord bless you and protect you. Verse 25, may the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. Verse 26, may the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Verse 27, this is how Aaron and his sons will designate the Israelites as my people, and I myself will bless them. Unquote.
Okay, that was the last verse in Numbers chapter 6. Now we have some commentary.
6 verse 1 through 21. The three aspects of the vow of a Nazarite are abstinence from the fruit of the vine, verses 3 through 4, abstinence from cutting one's hair, verse 5, and abstinence from defilement by contact with the dead body, verses 6 through 12. These were viewed as specific acts of discipline and cleanness. 6 verse 2. Nazarite is a noun form of the verb to separate. Nazarene means separate, to separate oneself. The sense is clearly one who separates himself away from the world unto the Lord for a specific time. This temporary Nazarite is distinct from the lifelong Nazarites of which Samson and John the Baptist are two of the best examples. Samson.
Nowadays, it's us. Okay, we have to continue on to the end. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Samson, you can check in Judges chapter 13 and 16, Amos chapter 2, verse 11 through 12. 6, verse 14. Burnt offering, sin offering, and peace offering are a familiar trilogy from the beginning of Aaron's priestly ministry. You can see the notes on Leviticus 1, verses 3 through 4, chapter 3, verse 1, and chapter 4, verse 3.
Now, a lot of people think that Samson was doing wrong when he was with Delilah, but the Bible plainly states that, and the people say he was a sex pervert and all this stuff, but the Bible says that that was of the Lord, so he could get near the Philistines. Amen?
Amen.
His problem was is because he drank wine and told the secret of his hair, and they cut his hair. Because, you know, separating ourselves from the world is very important. Now, that he didn't have to have sexual relationships with Delilah, but he did. He didn't have the spirit of the Lord, but the Lord, it says that this was of the Lord, that he was with her. Just like another prophet was told to marry two harlots, two hookers. And you explain, well, then can we do that? No, God gives specific instructions to different people. You can't be John the Baptist either. And you can't be Samuel. You can't even be a chocolate-covered peanut. That's the job of the chocolate-covered peanuts. Amen?
Amen.
You have to be whatever the Lord says you are. You have to be a good born-again Christian and don't sin. And don't try to be somebody else. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
6 verse 17.
You might want to be an M&M candy chocolate or an Oscar Mayer weenie. If you ever hear the song, oh, I want to be an Oscar Mayer weenie. But you can't, okay? Doopy. All right, then what?
6 verse 17. The grain offering and drink offering are not independent sacrifices, but form a part of the communion ritual of the peace offering. The need to observe these rituals, verses 13 through 21, to absolve the vow reinforces its seriousness, Leviticus chapter 3. 6 verse 20, a wave offering is a type of peace offering. This can be seen in Leviticus 3 verse 1. 6 verse 22 through 27. You is singular in Hebrew. Hence this is addressed to an individual, though this may be understood in a collective sense to refer to all of Israel. There are three poetic lines, each with two verbs, Yahweh being the subject of both verbs. This is known as the Aaronic blessing and is used literally by many modern-day Christians. 6 verse 24. To bless means an increase in prosperity because Yahweh will keep the worshiper from harm. 6 verse 25. Make his face to shine upon you implies taking pleasure in the worshiper, with the result that the Lord will be gracious or favorable to the worshiper. 6 verse 26. To lift up his countenance upon you, similar to making his face shine in verse 25, results in peace. That's the end result, is peace, the provision the Lord provides of all things necessary for the well-being of the recipient. 6 verses 3 through 4. The name Nazarite comes from a Hebrew word which means, again, quote, to separate, unquote. One aspect of this vow was separation from various activities and attitudes, symbolizing a person's willingness to set personal standards for himself during the time of the vow. This principle of personal abstinence or accountability is always necessary for anyone who seeks to live a life pleasing to God.
Similar to people that have are born-again Christians, so they take it upon themselves to fast for a particular reason. But that doesn't mean that you can continue in drinking booze or anything like that. This is different. A little bit different, but it's similar in some sense of the word. It's fasting from all that to the end, because the priest cannot operate under the influence of alcohol. Then what else?
Self-discipline and self-examination both play key roles in our relationship with God as we continue the process of letting the Lord mature us. 6 verse 5 and 8. An important aspect of the Nazarite vow was a separation unto God, dedicating one's life for his use. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 commands us to present our body as a living sacrifice to God. The Nazarite vow provided opportunities to do this on specific occasions, that we are to give ourselves to God continuously, all the time. It is to be a regular, everyday thing, which is supernatural and not regular, but it is regulating ourselves on a daily basis. Even in the most hopeless human situations, if we discipline ourselves, God gives us hope. But that hope cannot come without our committing ourselves to God, to Jesus Christ. 6 verse 24 through 26. The simple words of this blessing reflect God's desire for all his people. He is the source of all blessings. All of our power, or what the people call grace, or the King James Version calls grace, and peace in our lives. Only through a relationship with God can we hope to experience the fullness of life described here. The blessing seems to build to its final word, peace, shalom. The Hebrew word for peace, which is shalom, means more than an absence of conflict. It implies a complete sense of well-being, health, and contentment. God offers this to anyone who is willing to follow him, to take up the cross, deny themselves, and especially to those whose lives have been bruised and broken.
Praise the Lord. That was chapter 6, the book of Numbers. We'll be doing chapter 7 this evening, Lord willing, but in the meantime, keep your eyes on the Lord. Remember all the words of these first four books of the New Old Testament. Right now I'm in the fifth book of the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, and I have to stay ahead of everybody because I never know when I'm going to have to have some extra tapes ready. But God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.